Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, the environmental sectors in Malaysia have been impacted not just by the COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdown, but also from the new government that has yet to make clear its environmental strategy. Now, in the face of this double challenge, our guests tonight are from Makaranga, which is a portal covering issues of the environment and sustainability in Malaysia. And they will be taking stock of how the environment sectors in Malaysia will be responding to these challenges over the next few months. We have on the show tonight Wong Siew Lin and Lau Yau Hua. Welcome to the show, guys. Both of them are founders and co-founders and editors of Makaranga. It's good to have you on the show. Now, I want to begin the show with a quick look at, say, we start on a positive note. What are some of the positive impact that this COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdown has had on the environment? Siew Lin, would you like to start?
Well, I think that the positives have really made the news. We've been reading from all around the world how clear, for example, the waters of the canals in Venice are, swans appearing and all the rest of it. In Malaysia, that's also been the case. And I think Yau Hua has actually done a little bit of research on that.
So yeah, I guess it's hard to imagine, you know, any positive effects from COVID-19. But if you think about it, I think at one point, up to 30% of the world's population was under some sort of restricted mobility control due to social distancing from COVID-19. So that meant immediately, like, traffic was greatly reduced, lots of economic activity was reduced, and there were reports, anecdotal and even research reports showing that the air, like Siew Lin has said, is much clearer. Rivers seem clearer and cleaner. And the air itself, if you think about it, you could just look outside and a few weeks ago, there were so few cars. And there's been research showing that in KL itself, since the start of the MCO here in KL, nitrogen dioxide, which is a type of a gas that will cause respiratory problems on the ground level, that has decreased by 60% in KL. And this is research coming up from the Center of Research on Energy and Clean Air. So yeah, lots of that. And then greenhouse gases emissions have greatly reduced. So that's the air. And apparently in New Delhi now, the air is clear again, which is quite miraculous.
Right. It's sort of a perverse consequence of this crisis, right? And something that we've always known, that the planet has suffered as a consequence of human activity. But it's not a program. We can't think of using a crisis like this in a positive sense, can we? I mean, unless you think we want to shut down human activity. So tell us, how do we think through this issue?
Yeah, you're definitely right. So I think nobody in their right mind would suggest this as the way forward, right? But what it does is to give everyone a glimpse of what it could be, right? What it could be when human activity or just traffic, if we greatly reduce traffic, what we could get. Cleaner air, much less noise pollution, right? And so it shows that nature is resilient, and this is the word that's being used around by environmentalists a lot in this case, that it is resilient. Nature is resilient, and if we stop adding all our pollutants into it, then it could quickly, I guess, revert back to a much cleaner environment within just a few weeks. But So many of the climate change scientists, for example, or environmental researchers would say they expect that this would not last and that it will come back. But it does give us
So Siew Lin, I want to ask you, is there any way we can hold on to these gains? I mean, the clearer air, the cleaner water, the wildlife returning to reclaim spaces. Can we hold on to these gains, given that it's almost inevitable that human life will continue, human activity is set to restart once lockdowns are eased. Can we hold on to these gains?
Well, they are gains, but they're quite momentary. I think the problem is everybody is celebrating otters being seen, in parks, that sort of thing. But they are quite momentary. And the thing is that nobody's looking at why this wasn't just a normal part of life. And I think that's the problem. When we celebrate these gains in such a big way, you then don't dig a little bit deeper, which is what is needed, to look at why rivers aren't clean, who are the polluters, what's being done, what hasn't been done, to ensure that rivers are clean, what's not being done to ensure that turtles continue to lay eggs on beaches. Turtles were found on the beaches of PD, Port Dickson, recently. What are the issues behind those sorts of things? And I think that is the problem with celebrating these changes as gains.
Right.
Let's think about policy then. I mean, what would you like to see, even the low-hanging fruit, policies that might help us hold on to these gains?
Yeah, I think policies are very important. Are they low-hanging fruit? Yes. I think policies that are being put in place and being overseen by local councils are actually low-hanging fruit, because changes to policies can be made very quickly and relatively easily. However, might those be enough? Do we not need to look at federal policies as well, state-level policies and federal policies as well? And this is where I think there's a lot of concern, because what has happened to Pakatan Rakyat's reforms in terms of environmental policy? And I think that is something that a lot of environmental folks are worried about.
All right. We're definitely going to have that conversation about whether a reform in the environmental sectors will continue under the Perikatan National Government. That's coming up later in the show. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.